Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
And I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight because it's a beautiful Friday where I'm at, and I'm sure it's a beautiful day where you're at as well because, you know, some I don't care whether it's warm or cold or whatever, make the best out of it because you're on this side of eternity. And I want to thank all my listeners from north to south, east to west, and my global listeners for tuning in. And I just appreciate all of y'all because if it had not been for y'all listening in, I couldn't do what I do. But, you know, we're going to start our show off, you know, first by saying hello to my beautiful co-host. And then we're going to get into our guest, Mrs. Sapara, who is a love guru. And how you doing, Shalonda?
I'm good, Miss Cherry. How are you?
I'm doing fine. And how are you doing, Sapara?
I am doing wonderful. Thank you for asking. I'm happy to be here.
Good, good. But we're going to start our show off first with our cutie patootie pick for the week. Now, since I kind of know what Shalonda's trying to say, I'm going to spit mine out first. My cutie patootie of the week is the star of the show, Empire, Terrence Howard, with them beautiful, pretty, sexy eyes, the bad boy, ooh-wee, yum, yum. So what's yours, Shalonda?
Rocking one up you on that one. I was thinking Terrence Howard because Lisa's Lion is a beast, but I gravitate to Omari Hardwick.
Mine this week is
going to be Omari Hardwick from the show Power. They about to come back on. Can't wait. He is something to be desired.
Right.
I'm telling you.
I'm getting all hot and sweaty just hearing that. Now, Sapara, who's your cutie patootie for the week?
You know, I'm going to go directly to my beloved, my partner, David, who just is so present. You know, he's a herbalist, Chinese medicine doctor, and he lives so present, and he's so present to me and my emotions and my needs. And I love just waking up with him every morning, and we've had a great week.
Yes, Paul got big love for David. I ain't mad at you. That is wonderful. All right now. I like that. But we ain't going to waste no time. I want you to know that our guest tonight, she is a love guru, and she's going to show you why your spiritual and sexual needs are not in harmony. And I'm really interested in this because, you know, Quasis Kep, there are a lot of good girls out there, and there are a lot of women out there who are trying to be good girls, and sometimes they don't have the tools or they don't know the right way how to stay a lady without offending that guy because she say no. Because a lot of times guys think that, oh, look, heifer, I done been courting you for about a month now. You need to give me some of that. It ain't like that. You know, ladies, put that quarter between those kneecaps, okay? Keep it shut because if you're giving it away, why is he going to buy it? Why get the cow? You know, if you don't get the milk for free, what they always told me. But, you know, I'm just saying, but I'm going to let the love guru tell us a little bit of something about herself, first where she came from, and where did she get this title, Love Guru, in case she proved it.
So I'll start by saying I don't necessarily call myself a love guru. You know, The Bachelor coined me the love guru this year when I appeared on The Bachelor. And it's not necessarily a name I would give myself. And if I break down the name Love Guru, you know, guru, we're all gurus. Guru simply means teacher. We're all teachers in
right.
some way,
I love
shape,
teacher.
Or form. Right?
Did you say you were on The Bachelor?
I'm sorry?
You said that you was on The Bachelor, that TV show?
I was on The Bachelor. The Bachelor brought me on this season as their love guru, and I gave an awakening intimacy session to Chris Soules and his date, Carly.
Go on, girl. I'm scared of you. We got to talk after the show, okay? Keep my number. Okay, but let me just get back to you what you were saying. That is wonderful. You know, I have a question. Since you came on TV, gave them some advice. Well, how about giving me some advice? You know, and I was just touching on it a few minutes ago. When do a woman knows when her spiritual needs and her sexual needs are in compatibility? And I say that because what is the time span that seems okay for you to go from just cuddling, embracing someone's shoulder or kissing, but like on a Millionaire Matchmaker, no, none of that touching, you know. When is it appropriate to go from tongue kissing to the next step when you just meet somebody?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because you have some people out there who want to give all sorts of dating tips, and I call it the dating game, and I'm all about kind of getting over the dating game and moving beyond that and really just acquiring the skills and the presence to live, really, I call it like mindfully, like really so centered in, like the woman would know what her boundaries are, know what her values are, know exactly what she needs, and then there's not exactly an exact like formula to the time limit, but it's like, wow, is this person meeting my needs, meeting my core values? Because then from that point, they can decide. And to me, there's no set time in that. It's just knowing where the person's meeting them. Does that make sense?
It does for me. You know, because a lot of times, you know, when you're past the age of 30, and I'm not going to say how much over 30, but when you get to a age where you feel like you're mature and you've been through some things in life, sometimes you wonder, are you being too frigid, but are you being too standoffish? You know, because sometimes I see a lot of beautiful women that are single, good women, fundamentals are in the right place. They go to church, they're grounded, but they're single. And it got to be a reason why some of these good men ain't out here finding us good women.
Okay.
Are we too hard? I mean, you know, we got our standards too high. I'm not going to lower mine, though, but, you know,
yeah, you know. Again, it's like, what is, are the women reacting to an emotional charge of why they're holding themselves back, or is it simply because they're not having their values met? And I think that's an important question for people to have, because again, I think it's a condition and a programming that says we're supposed to wait a certain amount of time before we engage sexually with someone. Versus, wow, I'm clear on who I am and I'm attracted to this person and I'm emotionally clear and I can choose to engage with them or not. So again, I still think it comes back to that, and the women who are holding off, why are they holding off, and where the men can do the same work with get emotionally clear, get centered, start, you know, living on purpose. That's really an awakened masculine, to live clear and on purpose and centered, and show up in a different way for the women.
Well, I know my co-host, bless her heart, she's engaged, so she's off the market, and she's where she need to be at, where a lot of women wants to be. So I'm going to let her ask this question for the benefit of her friends that she know are still single and looking. And then I'll ask her a question, because I got so many questions, because I'm single and looking and she's single and engaged. So, you know, I'm going to give her a chance to throw something out there for the girls.
Yeah.
Take one for the team.
Okay. What advice do you have for people, well, just people who are trying to move forward and begin a relationship with somebody else that have that emotional baggage from their previous relationship? What advice do you have for them to be able to move forward and not judge the new person on what has happened in the past?
Yeah. The biggest thing is that they're finding their partner or the person they're moving forward is kind of stuck. In needing the support, is to really offer them the empathy and the understanding that you can really put yourself themselves in their shoes and let them know that they're understood, that they're supported. If it is interfering with their connection and the level of intimacy, be really transparent about that and honest to like, yeah, you know, I love you. I love you so much, and I'm feeling a little bit disconnected because of this pattern that I'm recognizing, and encourage them to find support and help. You know, we all can use support and help in that realm, and encourage them and help them to find that.
Okay.
Good answer. Well, I have a question, and I'm going to get it back to Shalonda in a second. My question is, when you're meeting someone for the first time and you're new, and you realize you're not judging someone about because of the baggage that you've probably had from the past, but when you meet people, do you think it's wrong to tell this new guy, say, look, you know, I've had some issues with someone in the past and I've gotten wiser, so I think before I get too caught up into you and see that we got history down the road, come on with me. Let's go to the health department. I want you to take an HIV test. Is that too forward? Because, you know, quiet's kept. I'd rather somebody hurt my feelings and say yes or no, they ain't going to take the test. But I sure ain't trying to get caught up with someone and sleep with them and then I get caught up with some STD that I can't get rid of. Do you think that's inappropriate to be that forward? Because, you know, I don't want to waste my time with you months down the road and then find out that you might have something or find out that we're just not even compatible because you don't even want to work with me on that part of the, you know, getting to know each other.
Yeah, that's a really great question. And for me personally, I do not think that's too forward. I think that's actually showing up in a mature way, which a lot of people are still learning to do. It is a self-responsible thing. It's taking care of yourself. You're even looking for this other person because you're like saying, well, hey, I'll go get a test with you and we can support each other in that way. What I do feel is important is that if someone just throws that out there to someone and it's new for this other person to hear something that forward, is to really practice the delivery method. How do you deliver that message? Be very mindful, be very heart-centered, be very delicate because that could be shocking for some people. Like put icing over it so you could smooth the edges and open the door because I know people who do that. They go get STD checks together and it's just beautiful. They're caring about each other. It's great.
Okay, well, you got any suggestions how someone would do that for the people who's listening?
Yeah, you know, I mean, definitely, you know, say, for example, you're on the first date and you're not going to have sexual intercourse, but you're on a date. First, get to know them in a sense of lay out on the table kind of what you're looking for and get to know them and feel them out with their values, with their needs, to see if you're even a match on the emotional level. And then if it goes on to a second date and you're going to have sexual intercourse, I call it a sex talk before you have sexual intercourse. Sit down and just say, you know what, I'm really turned on. I would love to have sex with you. And I really want to, I'm caring about our bodies and I'd love to kind of talk STD and to just go from there. Find a clinic, talk to them. And if they want to go by themselves, I would even have them show you stuff. Talk about safe sex. That is so important. And so that's
and
why
we
go
about it. And
you
also have tests I've heard that you can do at home. You know, a home test to see whether you got something, you know, and say, hey, instead of pissing on a stick if you're pregnant, how about you don't take this in the bathroom with you? You know what I'm saying? And come back, make sure it says negative, you know?
Because
we got so many different sites out there, romance sites like Zeus, eHarmony, Farmers, and all these different sites. And people are out there that are lonely, that are nice people, but they don't know how to get past that fear. Because once you've been burned before, even though you might not judge someone for what someone else done to you, you're more apprehensive and you're more cautious and you don't want to make those same mistakes, especially with me per se. Yeah, my ex, you know, he didn't know how to keep it in his pants. So, you know, I'm very cautious about someone I be with. I don't want to be with somebody that think I'm going to be on his team. I'm not going to be on your team. It's going to be me, and that's it. I don't do team, you know. I'm solo. I'm a solo runner, you know, and those are the things that I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about, you know, whether you have an STD. I'm concerned whether you have mental illness in your family because, you know, if you got mental illness in your family, and for some of these younger people out there, you get caught up with somebody and you have a child, you know, your child might come out crazy. And that's just real talk, and I'm not trying to be funny, but I just need to know, what is too forward, not too forward to say. And so with that being said, I'm going to throw it over to my co-host, Shalonda.
Hello. I wanted to ask, for people, I lost my place, I'm sorry, my child came in the room. For people who are in a relationship, it always seems that one person may lose themselves in the other person's life, like somebody gives and somebody takes. What advice do you have for people to at least have their own life aside from their relationship life to be, you know, to make them happy? Because that's one thing that makes you happy.
That is the most important thing in a relationship, to stay stay active in what we're passionate about, because what does happen is often, like, right, codependent relationships take place, and codependent relationships are when we lose ourselves in our partner. They become our whole life. We stop doing what we love to do. We project our emotions onto our partner. Our partner's responsible for our emotions, and vice versa. And what that does is that will drain the relationship, that will take the passion away, that would even interfere with the sexual connection and the emotional connection. And so what people want to do, the advice is they want the opposite, even though their emotional body saying grab onto this person, to keep the passion alive and the intimacy alive, they really want to do the opposite. They want to go out, keep doing what they love, go dancing, go exercise, go for a walk, do your art. Do what makes you passionate, because that's your fuel. And when you come home from doing that, that's where the spice is. That's where the juice is. Your partner's going to feel attracted to you. That's, you're going to have passionate lovemaking because you're already juiced up. And so if that's what you want, that juicy relationship, just keep doing, even if it's just a mind game that you play with yourself, keep doing what you love to do that's outside of your relationship.
Yeah, and, you know, and Zipporah, I want to say that, too. I think that also when you're in a relationship, just because you're in a relationship, that does not mean that you don't have any more time for your friends, or you like a girls' night out, because I'm a firm believer. I believe that that guy needs a couple of days a week to hang out with his buddies, and she needs a couple of days, and, you know, and then you do the family time, because if you don't, when you see each other all the time and you don't, you know, you feel like you're losing yourself, and then your friends that you might need in the case something goes down, you get this crazy guy in your life, you don't have any friends left because you're alienated them because you don't cut off everything. And I think it's healthy. I might be wrong, but I think it's healthy that, you know, y'all have time together and time apart, you know, but still be monogamous with each other, of course.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, a relationship, most people have this limiting belief that you get everything from one person. But like you just said, the friendships are important. The men hanging out with the men, they share different, right? They share different things than you would in just that romantic relationship. And that's fuel for your relationship, and that's very needed.
Exactly, and I believe that, you know, as long as that guy that you with and he out there talking trash, you know, that's fine. Because, like when you go to work, for instance, like sometimes people just be talking trash and don't mean anything, but it just makes them feel like, wow, I still got it. I'm still attracted to somebody else other than my lady or my guy, you know. So I just think as long as you have that respect for your person that you're with and you're not out there cheating and bringing nothing home, it's okay to go out there and talk a little trash, long as all it is a talk, and don't try to build it into something else. You know, be respectful of the relationship that you're in.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, that does come from a place of emotional maturity. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, I see my co-host got a question. All right, Shalana, give us one for the girls, because we know that by you being engaged, you really don't have none of these issues that we have. And so take one for the team.
Oh, boy, I wish in my dreams. You still go through. It's a struggle, but it's work, you know. It's work. It's fun. I love it, but it is work. I have a friend, since you had spoke on going out and flirting and everything, I have a friend that is married. She's been married for about 8 years. And I have another friend, one of our other best friends. She, like, crushes on her brother real bad. And even though they don't...
on her brother?
Yeah,
the
one that's married.
Like incest?
No. The one that's married has a crush on the other friend's brother. Like, she, every time, like, they actually, like, make time to, like, go and hang out with each other, even though they don't, you know, they're not, like, a sexual relationship or anything. But I think it's just the connection that they have. And, you know, so the connection is there. But to me, that's like an emotional cheating. To me, I mean, that's just the way I am as a person. To me, spending time that you would spend with your husband with another man is cheating to me, because the intent
me too.
Of him, I'm sorry.
I said it's cheating to me too, because your body, your
right.
body might not be with him intimately, but your mind is there, and so what you think of, eventually you're going to wind up doing once you get intoxicated or you getting high, smoking weed or whatever it is, your poison, you know,
right.
and eventually he'll say something slick to you and he'll get the rubbing on you, and then your panties off, and then poof, there it is.
That's the way I feel about it. Even though she'd be like, girl, we ain't doing nothing but talking.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
yeah, okay,
just hang
but
out sometimes.
Let's get the expert answer that question. I don't believe
right.
that, but go ahead. Go ahead, Zapar. Give us some insight.
Yeah. So
one, it's a couple things on that. It's absolutely, again, if the people are not clear and what they're wanting, what they're needing, what their emotional needs are, like if there's more of an agenda there, then absolutely there's an important, I feel there's an important thing to have a conversation. If there's consent, meaning that, yeah, she's hanging out with his brother and he's aware of it, and he's aware of their flirting or whatever happens, then that's a whole different story. But again, that comes back to what's the agenda, where's the emotional clarity, and where are the people coming from? Because I know people, because my belief is flirting is very natural. It's part of the human, it's part of the human being. It's part of who we are. Yet flirting can get in the danger zone, if you want to call it, if
mm-hmm.
there's, again, an emotional lack of clarity in the emotional body where someone is trying to fill a need someplace else that's not being met in a relationship.
Right.
And there's not consent there. Like they're wanting more than just that flirting, because flirting is quite natural.
Right. See, that, like, if we were just, like, going out or hanging out somewhere and, oh, he's there and they're flirting, then I really don't see, you know, a big deal with that, you know, but to plan to meet and to hang around each other for an evening, to me, is, like, emotional cheating on her husband. You know,
to me, it comes into cheating if there's not consent. If the
right.
husband doesn't know, if she's not
communicating.
Oh,
he definitely doesn't know.
Okay, but if there's communication with the partner, then it's not necessarily cheating if there's consent.
I bet if her husband knew, he's probably black in somebody's eye. Pow!
He loses his mind.
Let me ask you this for the benefit of us single women out there. You know, and I know you said that it's your own comfort level per se when we think is right to let that guy stick his tongue down your throat. Okay, because some people don't want to do that; they just want to kiss like a peck. You know, and do you think that it's inappropriate for tongue kissing right away because you're swapping saliva, or do you think you should wait until you're comfortable with going the next step before he got his tongue down your mouth?
Yeah. Again, I don't have a belief of, like, inappropriate right or wrong when it comes to dating like that. What I do believe is if a woman is on a date and she's not feeling comfortable with the person, she's really fair. You know, I just want to get to know you a little bit better, and I'd love to kind of walk arm in arm. You know, she's really clear on what she wants and what she needs, and that comes from an emotional security place. Then she'll know whether making out with a tongue is actually resonating with her needs, her values, her body, because our bodies will either say yes or no to that. And then she can be confident in clearly saying, no, that's not what I want.
Your body's
will
lie to you. I tell you, girl.
My body will automatically say no to it at all times. I do not like tongue kissing. That is, like, disgusting.
Yeah, especially the guy got big lips.
So you're clear on that.
Those guys with big lips, they all juicy and wet and just drop all downside face, like, ew, yuck, you know. They be drooling, like, you know, get a bib or something, you know. But,
I might kiss kiss my fiance like that maybe twice or three times a year. I'm just not one of them people. I just feel like it's just disgusting that somebody else's shit is in my mouth.
I know, right?
So,
yes. And like they say, a millionaire matchmaker, don't let him put nothing in the mouth, down there, back there, nowhere. Because if you do that, then it feels like the guy said, he can just take you the whole 10 yards, you know, you're not running a race. You know, have some respect for yourself, because at the end of the day, you know, I found out, Sapara, that a lot of times when people are going through the process of the chase or the dating part, you know, they all excited, they pumped up, they turned on and everything. But as soon as that person gets to the point where touchdown, they become intimate, then they say, oh, my God. Then the specialness is not really there anymore, you know, because they don't hit it, you know. So is there any kind of little clues you can tell about to look out for a guy when you can, like, say, well, beware of that because this is not long-term. This is somebody who's just trying to hit it.
Yeah, well I would actually have those conversations, and you're going to be able to tell right off the bat about sensing their body reactions, how they're answering the questions, what they're asking for. You're just going to know, right? You can, to me, it's so obvious. You can sense that in someone's body reactions, what they're asking for, what they're willing to give. The other component is I would really start, there's classes out there. There's tantric classes, consciousness classes around the art of kissing, around the art of touch, around the art of communication. And I would send people to classes like that because, you know, what people want is more intimacy. What people want is more than just what you said, just like a man falling all over them, or vice versa. If someone wants a longer-term relationship, they're wanting different quality. Well, create a date that you're actually going to one of these classes together. Take the step to challenge yourself. Go into the edgy places to actually create the quality of relationships that you're really wanting.
That's good.
Just
point.
Like when I first met my fiance and we started being intimate, I had to let him know that, look, if you want to be with me, you still have to date me. You still have to treat me like, you know, you want me. It can't just be, oh, I'm here, oh, she here, you know, and go on because I'll move on about my business. You know, if that's the way you want to treat it, then that's the way I'm going to treat it. I grew up with four brothers, so I didn't have any, and my father raised me, so I didn't have any main female, you know, type of role model there that's like, oh, he needs to do this for me, he needs to do that. So I have to set those, you know, guidelines where this is what you have to do. Like, I still get flowers, you know, spontaneously. I still get gifts spontaneously because, I mean, you have to keep me interested just like I have to keep you interested. You know, or, I mean, what's the use? We might as well go on about our business. If that's all you want to treat me as is the person that you want to see when you get in the bedroom, you know, then we can run with that one too, but don't expect nothing of me, you know, after that point. That's a whole lot of things with the man is they expect you to be there for the relationship, but they're not necessarily there for the relationship, you know.
Absolutely.
And so we set that, you know, early on, where now it's just natural, right, that it's just natural now that, oh, he got me flowers this week, you know, okay, you know, we still go through those things, we go on dates just to the restaurant, we know we got four kids, so, yeah, you know, without the children, because we be so engrossed in the children's needs that we forget about our own. So that's always a good thing.
Yeah. So congratulations, because what you just did, right, you asked for what you needed, and it actually gave him, when we ask for what we need and really clear on what we need, it actually helps the other person feel safer, and they're able to relax, and now they're able to know what's going on. And you just did that in your relationship. That's what I heard. And now he's able to meet that need and vice versa. So that's awesome.
Right.
Well, I got a question for me. But anyway, don't judge me. I'm just saying, a woman needs to know these things. Now, everybody are not at the same sexual level, where some people, all they want is missionary sex. Okay, now, Quasis Kept, I'm not saying I'm just going to have sex with somebody. When the time comes, we did the dating, we did the courting, and we feel like we're ready to take to the next level. whether we are married and we go there, and I would hope that we could be married and then go there. But I'm just saying, when you're with a person and you find out after that first time that this person's sexual drive is not as turned up as yours is, would it be wrong? Because a lot of guys got the impression that a woman is not supposed to be verbal about what it takes to turn her on or what she would want you to do to engage with her, you know. Because a lot of people think that if you're not just doing missionary sex, then you got to be a freak. Why you got to be a freak? Because you just tired of somebody laying on you like a dead weight. Isn't it true that, you know, can let's try some new stuff? I mean, can we add some edibles to the party? Can we make some suggestions? But I don't want to really go there. But, you know, is it wrong for a woman to be able to be more willing to try something new because you don't want to try it? You think it's wrong to judge her because she's more open and she's trying to turn you on, not turn you out?
I think it's beautiful, and thank you. And we are, again, we're in this day and age that there's so much recognition of sexual shame, blaming, and judgment, and right? Those are all conditionings. And how beautiful it could be when we get together with someone and engage sexually and like, create a game out of it. So if you're noticing what turns you on maybe is different or the different positionings, I would, prior to engaging sexually, Like talk about it. Like, okay, let's play a game. Let's talk about what turned you on, what positions you like, how do you like to be touched, and explore that way, because that's, wouldn't we want to know what our partner likes and turn it into a fun experience? What sometimes happens if we're in the midst of a sexual excitement and our partner is doing something that maybe we don't like or doesn't feel good, or we want something different? Sometimes the way we communicate it makes it sound like we're blaming or judging the other person for how they're doing it. And that can shut down the other person, and the other person can react. And this is why I say have these conversations outside of the bedroom and make it fun, and then take everything you want, the toys or the oils or the edibles, bring them into
the
bedroom.
Don't get bad, girl.
Right, make it fun, and so your partner knows you're playing with, like, you're exploring this new experience together, and then I do believe, I've experienced, it's easier on the partner. And then you can get to know each other's likes and dislikes.
Yeah, and because you said that, I'm just going to share something for the benefit of my listeners. You know, this is something that could be done with people as they get to know the person that they're with. You know, you can get a silk scarf to blindfold them with. You can get, like, a feather. You can get some chocolate syrup or honey or whatever. You know, get some pearls. And have that person just relax. And you could, like, put the feather across their body. And if they say, well, they guessed that right, then fine. They get a couple of kisses on the cheek. Okay, you might want to try, well, I'm going to pour this on you. What does it smell like? Does it smell like chocolate, or what do you think is syrup, or, you know, whatever, you know? And try those little games of touch with different things, you know, as you get used to caressing that person, and then it could lead into something very gently because it's not evasive. I'm not saying, turn over, this is what I want out you. You're going to give it to me, you know? If you just take them into it, and bring them along, because I'm a firm believer that you can make anybody to be that partner that likes what you like, you know, and it's not being a freak, but you can introduce them in a way that's not offensive and not so brazen to somebody who's normally doing it the same old, tired way over and over and over and over again until they're killing it. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Thank you. Absolutely. And even to take those tools and then take turns where maybe one night one person is actually receiving, the other person is exploring. The next night it's switching roles. Take turns doing it. And you know what? The key in all of this is really up the game on your communication skills, because to have great sex and to be able to lose your abandon, like be completely wild with abandon in your sexual experience, it takes good communication.
And that's a good point. And on that point, we're going to take a little small break, and we want y'all, if y'all got to ask a question about our special guest, to call in at 347-945-6003 and hurry up and call in, because this is going to be a short show because she got other engagements. So we're going to take a small break, and we're coming right back in 2 and 2.
Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He's been really wonderful to me. Don't you agree?
I feel like I'm my own God. The things that's been happening to me, I feel like I've been making those things happen.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you don't believe in God?
Well, I haven't seen him.
The truth can come in shocking form.
ain't nobody up in my house when I'm at work all day, all day.
No! No! Who is this? Why is he in my house? Who are you, man?
Is this your mom?
Who are you? Mother, this is my woman and this is my house!
Oh,
my girlfriend. Why is he in this house? What do you mean you didn't know?
When the secret is no longer hidden, you have now been exposed. Written by authoress Terry E. Lyle. Check out her website and on Blog Talk Radio every Friday at 7:30 p.m.
Well, welcome back to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle and Shalunda. And today our guest is Zipporah, who has been on The Bachelor, giving out her love advice. And I consider her to be the love guru. That's how they called it on TV. And that's how we're going to call her right here. I got all twisted up talking about this sex, topic about sex. You know, sex make everybody get all disemboweled, man. Got me all, woo, I'm all hot up in here. I'm trying to stay tame with my questions. But anyway, I know we don't have that much time to have Zipporah here with us today, so I'm going to get right back to my co-host, Shalunda, and let her ask her questions. And anybody out there who got a question, this is your time. Call 347-945-6003 and hit the 1 key and ask your question. Go ahead, Shalunda, darling.
Yes, I wanted to ask about The Bachelor. You know, you said that you had the sit down with Chris and Carly. Did you ever have a time with Chris and Whitney, the one that he chose to marry?
I did not, or have yet to. Correct. I was on the show. I gave a date. They wanted me to give a date to Chris and Carly. I gave them about a 90-minute session with me, and they aired 10 minutes of it on the show.
Okay.
And
did he seem genuine at all in his effort to find a wife? Because I know a whole lot of them. They wound up not marrying them in the end. So.
Yeah, you know, it was an amazing opportunity because I went in, I gave them a real authentic session of what I would do with any, you know, couple that came to me.
Mm-hmm.
And they were challenged. I challenged them to be emotionally, you know, they were transparent. They had emotions come up. They were beautiful people. They were both very sincere. And they showed up in a really big way, I feel, for this session because it was very raw. It was vulnerable. And it was edgy for them, right? This was something they'd never heard of in their life. So to answer your question, yes, I feel he's very authentic, and he was authentic in when I met him in that session.
Okay.
Well, I have a question for you, Zipporah. Now, I'm a Christian, and I do believe that sex should be with your husband, you know, but the world that we live in, Quasis Cap, you know, I've been celibate for a while, you know, and I must admit, sometimes, I mean, like, I'll be, like, overheating, I'll be like, woo-wee, you know, and I feel the need to, like, want some release, but then I have to try to find other ways, you know, to try to get my mind off of it, you know, and how do you feel about that? I mean, because it seems good, I wish it could be that way, but is it wrong for someone to have sex and they're not married, even though the Bible would have it that it should be done in the right vortex with, you know, with your spouse? I would love to have that, but I don't see too many men who know how to wait, and I don't see too many women who want to wait. So that's like, what do you do? I mean, what do you do?
Yeah. You know, my personal opinion, again, the work that I do is about people becoming very empowered in who they are, being very clear on their needs, being very emotionally clear and stable, and being able to make really empowered choices. And, again, it comes down to I don't believe in the right or wrong. I believe, you know, sex is what births us into this world. It's two beings came together with an immense amount of love and energy, and they created a child inside of them. And so the act of sex is very sacred. For me, I find the act of sex very sacred. And yet people who are married can still engage sexually very unconsciously, very disconnectedly, very much not with the heart. So sometimes marriage, there's a lot of marriages out there that still have disconnected sexual encounters with each other. So my belief is, yes, you can have that in it, but honor your values and what you want and then make the decision from there. But realize that you can have it in a sacred way. You can have it be met in a conscious way. You can have it, all your needs, your love met, and whether you're married or not, because again, some marriages don't even have that.
And I need to say this, and I have to play, I hate to use this word, devil's advocate, but I have to say this for the benefit of other people out there who are not asking these questions and want to. A lot of people feel like, you know, why should you get married first? If you don't try out the merchandise, you might get something that's maybe not big enough for you, won't satisfy you, or maybe she is too big for you. It's like a canyon down there. I'm not trying to be disrespectful or crude, or maybe she don't know what she's doing. Or, you know, and sometimes a lot of people want to test out, you know, the equipment, like you test drive a car, so they want to make sure if you are sexually compatible, not just physically attracted to each other, you know. So, you know, I'm just saying, you know, what do you think about that? Because, you know, I'm a Christian, and you know, I've been celibate by choice because I don't want no one to devalue my body, so I'm not going to give it to any and everybody, number one. You know, I don't mind talking to people, trying to get a gauge whether this person's even somebody I want to talk to long term. But sometimes I feel guilty for waiting, and sometimes I feel like I might be stupid to wait, because if I wait till I get married again, it might not never happen, or I might wait, and then I'll be like, dang, man, you messed up. I mean, what do you do?
And, you know, again, it comes back to, what are your values and why are you waiting? And it's absolutely fine to wait if that's really what's aligned with your values and your needs. And again, I'll tell you, I was celibate for 7 years. And
oh,
I was celibate.
That's your
I was celibate.
7 years.
I was celibate for 7 years, and it was by choice because I wanted to develop a very mindful, loving, connected relationship with my body, with my emotions. So when I returned into relationship with another person, that I could actually be very clear and show up in a really big way, so I had more to give in that relationship. I'm not married, so I don't have that value system, you know, as in I need to be married to engage sexually, but yet the energy was there, the intention was there that I wanted to be clear. So again, I believe you can have it without marriage, and I totally understand why someone would wait till they're married if that's what aligns with them. That's beautiful. And testing, like you said, taking a test run before you're married, that's absolutely understandable, because, again, the more that people know that they're in sync with each other, they're compatible, right, the better the outcome's going to be.
Oh, Sapphire, I just had to say that. Okay, I just had to do this out. I might not test it, but can I at least see it?
That I ain't seen, because I will divorce. I need this no. This is not going to work for me.
Oh, no, that's right. On the wedding day, let's just end this quick.
Right. I made a mistake. I was out of my mind at the moment.
I was with this guy, right? And this guy, right, man, I mean, we waited a long time in the build up. We was like, woo, we was ready for it, you know, and all of a sudden, I took his clothes off, and when I looked at it, and I really couldn't barely see it, oh, my God. First thing I said, oh, my back. Help me, Lord, my back, my back.
I'm a kid.
Don't
I did that oh, when I was young. I did it when I was young. I was like, oh, I don't feel good. I go home.
I had to get out of that, so I went to a back stab right away. Yeah, but you know, listeners, like the poor said, you might as well look at it. Don't let nobody talk about you.
Yeah.
If you feel comfortable with it, do what you got to do. But you know,
that's right.
So
you wouldn't
right
buy a car without test driving it.
That's right. You heard my
call. That's my motto.
Until I decide
I
what I'm going to do,
sure.
I'm just going to say Stella Dick. I'm just going to leave it at that.
And I want to add to that. It is, you know, we get so stuck, you know, people that might not have an awareness of energy or an awareness of, you know, sacred lovemaking or tantric practices, for example, we get very stuck on also the physical body, but, you know, we can have orgasm and sexual connection and not even have penetration. So I'm saying there's a whole world out there that is accessible for people to explore nowadays. For example, if someone didn't have intercourse and then they experienced, like what you just said, like the size and being shocked, well, what now are the things that you can play with that actually size truly doesn't matter? And, you know, I just need to bring that in.
It does, girlfriend. In my house, it will.
In my house, nigga.
In my house, it's going
to
happen.
I mean,
man,
they don't have to
guys.
Be. They don't have to be. They don't have to be, you know, Mandingo. But, I mean, you
that's
have
right,
to give
be
me something
average,
to work
at
with.
Least.
Yeah. Average. I mean, I can work past a couple things. But I can't.
I'm telling
you,
girl, this guy was like my baby
course.
Finger. It was like my baby finger. I could barely
yeah.
see it there, but nothing. I said, oh, Lord.
Yeah, so now
like,
you
I
can make the
something.
Conscious choice of choosing something else. But I know people who can orgasm simply through breathing. So you know, there's different
I can
on
dig
that.
It. I can dig it. But it's just the penetration thing. I have
yeah.
to have something. You know, it's just
yeah.
some people.
You better buy a toy.
Sorry,
something.
Down.
I totally
but
understand that.
A lot of things. We got this. A lot of things. I'm gonna need a couple drawers. A couple drawers of toys or something.
I'm telling you. run to the refrigerator. Get a tube coming. You better find something. They're going to crucify me. They hear me running my mouth like this. Okay. But, I just have to say it because we got people who want to know these things, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. It's been such a pleasure talking to you, Sapar. And I know that you told, your agent told me that you only had an hour to spend with us. And that hour has come and gone so quickly. And I so appreciate you. Is there anything that you would like to tell the listeners while you're still here about your book or whatever? This is your time, darling.
Yeah. You know, first, thank you for having me. This has been a lot of fun, and I loved our conversation. Great
time.
Questions on, right? Talking about the tough stuff around sex, so important. And I do have some upcoming programs and mentorship programs, and I'd love to invite people to simply go and check out my website at ZipporaIntimacy.com. That's ZipporaIntimacy.com, and they can find me through there. Please email me questions. I'd love to hear from you and answer any more questions that anyone has as well.
And also, Zipporah, I'm on Facebook under Authoress Terry E. Lyle and Twitter under Sweetfire01 or LinkedIn. Please Facebook me so we can become friends. And as well as this is your time to give a shout-out to whoever. And before you give your shout-out, I'm going to say, it was a pleasure, David, having your lady up here. And you lucky rascal. You lucky, lucky rascal.
Yeah,
anybody you want.
I just want to say this to this again. You guys two are super fun, and I'm super grateful for everyone out there who's supporting me, who tuned into The Bachelor this year, who's really taking the next step to change their sex lives and to bring more mindfulness awareness and really ask for what they want in their relationship. So I just congratulations everyone for that, for stepping up to the plate.
And you know you can always come back to talk about a book or do the other hour. You can always come back because we've always got a chance for a love show, because there's a lot of people out there, you know, at broken relationships and relationships that need some fixing. You know, it don't have to be broken, but it can be something that, you know, you're trying to get into a relationship. And we'd love to have you back again. Just please keep in touch.
I shall. I'll find you on Facebook. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Thank you, Zippor. You have a good evening.
You too.
All right. Shalonda, baby girl, this is your time to say whatever you want to say. You can say hi to your fiance. This is your time, baby girl.
Yeah, I'd just like to say hi to you, Miss Terry. It's been a couple weeks, but we haven't really spoken over my break. I've been on spring break all week, so been a rough one, though, I'll tell you that much. I ain't get to relax not one bit, but it was just good to not have to get up and go to work in the morning. So I just been relaxing. Right. Yeah. And I just want to wish y'all lucky, safe travels on our way to me. She's coming to me. I get to see my mom.
Yes. I didn't see your friend in a long time. I'm sorry that it had to be Jeff, you know, to get her coming that direction, you know. But just keep talking to her. Make sure that while she's dropping, that's a long hump, you know, that she don't get tired. Keep calling her, and, you know.
Right, and I will also want to ask for prayers for my son's father. He went for his cataract surgery 2 days ago, so hopefully he'll be able to look at his son's face again. He's praying hard that he'll be able to see again. So if you could keep him in prayer, it would be great.
Wonderful, wonderful. And I also like to say hi to Tony. I see Tony is on the line out of Baltimore.
Yeah.
And I just want to thank you, Tony, for tuning in. And Tony, he's been a gem. You know, sometimes when you weren't able to make it from being sick or whatever,
right,
Tony has filled in a pinch. So I appreciate him for being there and being supportive. Because sometimes, you know, I just don't want to do the show without you, Shalonda. I got so used to having you there. I don't want to do it by myself. So, you know, thank God for Tony. And on that note, everybody, y'all had an hour and 5 minutes of Unmasked with Authors Terry E. Law and Shalonda. We're going to take it out of here with Don't Let Me Be Lonely Tonight by James Taylor. And if you want to inbox me on Facebook, hit me up however you can find me, because you know something? This was a good evening, and y'all got a chance right now to go on, run wherever you got to go. You can still make that date, that dinner date, and y'all have a blessed weekend, and see us next weekend. What do we have next weekend, Shalonda, before I go?
I'm not sure. I didn't know.
I forgot. I don't even know, but it's going to be something good. It's going to be something good. So, baby girl, it's good talking to you. And you take care. Goodbye, everybody. Love you.
Love you. Good night.
Good night.
Do me wrong. Do me right. Tell me lies, but hold me tight. Save your goodbyes for the morning light. But don't let me be lonely tonight. Say goodbye and say hello. Sure it's good to see you, and it's time to go. I don't want to be lonely tonight. Go away, then damn you. Go on and do as you please. Darling, you ain't gonna see me looking down on my knees. You've been turning my world upside down, you know. So do me wrong, but do me right, right now, baby. Go on and tell me lies. Don't let me be lonely tonight. I don't.